Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ircon International Limited Q4 FY22 analyst conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Samat from Perfect Relations. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Diksha. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Ircon International's Q4 FY22 analyst conference call. Today we have with us the senior management represented by Srimati Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, and Shri B. Mugunthan, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Director of Finance. Before we begin, I would like to say that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, after which we will have the forum open for the interactive Q&A session. I would now request Srimati Ragini Advani for the opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Ragini Advani. I have recently joined as Director of Finance of Ircon. Unfortunately, CMD could not be here due to some prior scheduled engagements at ministerial level. I welcome you all to this conference call for the financial results of Ircon for the quarter four of FY21-22 and the full year results of FY21-22. I have with me today Shri B. Mugunthan. He is our Chief Financial Officer and ED Finance. I also have with me our Technical ED, Mr. A.K. Goyal. We have uploaded a detailed presentation on the stock exchange for your reference. Hopefully all of you have been through it. We've had a stupendous performance as far as our results go. Ircon has booked the highest ever operating turnover on standalone as well as consolidated basis. Our order book as at 31st March 2022 stands at rupees 43,758 crores, with about rupees 3,000 crore of worth of orders being added in quarter four itself. As all of you are aware, Ircon is moving to an environment of competition. Almost 45% to 50% of our order book is on competitive bidding basis. We strongly as management believe that Ircon is well-placed to keep these orders and to continue winning such kind of orders even in a competitive environment. We are completely geared up for such kind of environment going forward. During the quarter, Ircon has incorporated three more subsidiaries in highway projects and one for execution of a solar PV power project. In total, Ircon has now 11 subsidiaries, including 10 wholly owned subsidiaries. Ircon has also won an international order amounting to about rupees 1,800 crores in Myanmar in quarter four of FY21-22. This is a road project received under line of credit assistance from MEA, Government of India. As regards financial performance of the company on consolidated basis, in respect of quarter four FY21-22, our income stands at rupees 3,011 crore as against 2,513 crore in the corresponding Q4 of FY20-21. Revenue from operations stood at 2,953 crores as against 2,424 crores. PAT was reported at 242 crores as against 170 crores. Core EBITDA remained almost flat at rupees 213 crores vis-à-vis rupees 218 crores of the corresponding Q4 quarter of previous year. PBT stood at 221 crore as against 276 crore for the corresponding period. Earnings per share has gone up to rupees 2.57 per equity share as against rupees 1.81 per equity share of the Q4 of FY20-21. This is vis-à-vis our face value of share being rupees 2 per share. As regards dividend, board of directors have recommended a final dividend of 65 paisa per equity share, This is subject to approval of shareholders. We have already declared interim dividend cumulative of ₹1.85 per equity share. And with this, we are giving a good yield to our shareholders from a dividend perspective. Now, without taking much more time, I would like to open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. We'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Mr. Vishal Periwal from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. Order book continue to move strength to strength. So in terms of execution, how do you see, because in this year also we have done pretty strong set of execution, particularly in the fourth quarter. So how do you see this for FY23?
Yeah, so as you're aware, our order book is about 43,000 crores, and depending upon the project duration, we would be having an end-to-end project execution period in certain projects of about 2 years and in certain about 4 years. So in given the fact that we have a very strong order book and a very strong technical team within IRCON, with our subcontracts etc. also being in place for most of these order books, we do hope to execute a good number in FY22-23 as well. In fact, God willing, and if COVID was not to prevail, I think we should be surpassing the turnover for FY21-22.
Okay, no, given the order book which is there, so I think probably as an investing community would expect some sort of growth, or probably strong set of growth. So would you like to give a number for that, maybe a range will be helpful?
So, we expect a 10 to 15% growth in our top line vis-a-vis FY21-22.
Okay. And second, on this quarterly result, I think on a reported basis, the margins, EBITDA level margins were a bit on the, on the lower side. So if you can highlight any one-off which was there and in terms of margin, how do you see this for FY23?
Yeah, so what has happened is there are a couple of factors because of which the EBITDA margin for this quarter has taken a hit. One, of course, is certain one-time provisions that we have done on certain jobs. And second, what has happened is that if we were to compare quarter to quarter, the corresponding quarter of the previous period has had some income on account of claims, which we won, and those were won on extraordinary income that reflected in our turnover as well as in other income in the previous period. So if we were to take out these abnormalities, then we are pretty much in line with the quarter-to-quarter results in terms of our EBITDA margins.
Okay. So maybe a recurring basis, if had this one-off not been there,
yes,
what would have been a margin? Or maybe if you can give what exactly that quantum is in terms of crore or something?
Yeah. So we've had a quantum of about this time a provision of about 60 crores as a one-off number.
Okay, and this is booked in fourth quarter, the complete, right?
That's it.
Okay. So based on like you know the estimate, so do you think this will spill over any further provisions required or anything for the next quarter?
As of now, I think we've taken care of everything up to 31st March. So the spilling over is not expected. So going forward, I think we should be able to continue with our robust EBITDA margins given the EPC segment in which we operate.
Okay. Sure, ma'am. And in terms of investments, I think you mentioned like you know a couple of subsidiaries are being formed to take care of the road project which you have run. So what sort of equity investment that you expect to put in FY23 or FY24, any number that we have worked out?
So we are expecting to put in about 300 crore of funds, whether through equity or interest-free loans, in FY22-23 in our new ventures that we have just announced, as well as some of the previous ones where the equity is still to be given on a pro rata basis.
Okay, so this 300 crores of equity, just repeating this, 300 crores of equity that we plan to put in, right, ma'am?
Yeah, equity along with quasi-equity.
Quasi-equity. And this will include even the solar project, 500 megawatt, this 300 crore, or it is over and above that? Solar.
Yeah, project? This includes the investment that we envisage to make in the solar project also. NFI
22-23. Okay, sure. Last thing from my side, in terms of our bid pipeline, would you like to give some color, like, you know, how, I mean, maybe a broad quantum, how much project that we have bidded or probably any, I mean, in terms of key projects that we are looking, I mean, we have participated and probably the announcement could come probably in next quarter or maybe 6 months. Anything that you would like to highlight?
I mean, while I may not go on a particular project-wise basis, but yes, we are actively continuing to bid in railways as well as highways for several of the projects, and especially with the high-speed and dedicated freight corridor initiative coming forward, we do expect to get some more business there. And again, I mean, if things are good, we should be able to generate about an additional order book of anywhere between 10 to 15,000 crores going forward in FY22-23 as well. But mind you, all this is going to be more on competitive basis and on lump sum price basis.
Okay. So I think typically in nomination, I understand like, you know, the margins were, I mean, a lot of pass-throughs were there, but your margins used to be like, you know, little on the lower side, if I say. Maybe if I can just say, like, you know, since RVNL is doing the same work and their margins are 5.5. So in a competitive bidding, can we say that margins, you can achieve maybe like a double digit sort of margins?
You know, there are a couple of factors for it, to be very honest. One, of course, we are all aware that the Ukrainian war has resulted in increase in a lot of commodity price increase. In the kind of EPC that we do, steel, copper, even the impact of crude oil and the diesel petrol prices all have impact on our business. So if we were to quote lump sum right now in a competitive environment and assuming that things stabilize in terms of the commodity pricing, then we should be able to get margins similar to the margins that we have in a cost plus model. I mean, again, it really depends on the environment going forward. But on otherwise, it could be other way around also. I mean, if God forbid, if the prices of these commodities hit a new high and there is a timing difference in terms of the time at which we bid versus when we actually execute, this could take a toll on our margins going forward. So this is something, in fact, which we as management are very careful now. And accordingly, you know, one is you have to win the jobs also in competitive environment and yet take care of such kind of ambiguities. So to that extent, it's going to be a challenge going forward, but we are gearing up for it. And we are sure we should be able to continue, as I said earlier also, we should be able to continue on the EBITDA margins that we've been doing for the past few years.
Right. Maybe last thing from my side, I think out of this 3,000 plus kind of order book that we have reported in PPT, it's safe to assume, right? Nomination projects, everything is a pass-through for us? 54% of order book is a pass-through in terms of cost inflation?
Pretty much.
Okay, and in bidding, out of this 46%, how much will be a pass-through?
See, in bidding, there is a price variation formula which is there in many of the projects or contracts. But again, you know, it is not apple to apple. So the actual price that you give on a subcontract vis-a-vis the price that you get as per the formula, it could go up and down depending upon the parameters that are given in the formula. But as of now, the analysis that we did in-house, we should be able to capture all our costs practically.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe quarterly difference will be there. But any number that you will put, like, you know, what is the fixed price contract in this 44,000 crore order book?
So, since we have a variation clause in our contract, so whatever contract value we are giving right now is the lump sum price or the fixed price that we've quoted as of now. And based on the price variation formula, that would be an upward revision in the contract value.
Right. No, ma'am, what I was trying to understand is there any, in this order book, is there any proportion or probably a quantum which is fixed price in nature?
What you're trying to say is it does not have price variation at all.
Right, ma'am.
Yeah. So that would be minuscule, in fact, almost less than 1%.
Okay. Sure, ma'am. Sure. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Is it possible to lay out the ordering opportunity from Indian Railways? That's the first question. The second question is that have we given the tenders already awarded for our 2-3 road project which we won in the FY22? And also on the solar contract, has the award been given?
So, as far as the tenders for road are concerned, we have given out partially. Let's say 50% of the tenders have been given out. And 50% we are still in the process. And what was your next question as far as solar is concerned?
Yes, solar.
Yeah, so solar, we are in the process of, we signed a PPA and we have also in the process of land acquisition. As far as the tendering is concerned, it should be happening in the next quarter.
Okay, understood. Ma'am, and the ordering opportunities from the railway side, how do you see it in FY23?
As far as the ordering opportunities, you are saying going forward, right?
Yes.
The new business that we will get in the current financial year from railways.
So,
would you mean just ministry, government of railways, or would you include the IC and the DFC as well?
Yeah, all put together, if you can lay out separately.
All put forward, I think we should again be targeting something like 80% of our business from railways, if not more.
So we are expecting 15,000 crore of order inflow. Is that number right?
So we are already at an order book of 43,000 crores. We expect to get anywhere between 10 to 15,000 crores in FY22-23. So out of that 10 to 15,000 crores, about 80% should be again from railways.
Understood. Thank you, ma'am. All the best. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, if you could throw some light in terms of execution of, you know, a couple of our key projects for the quarter.
Okay. In terms of, would you like to know in terms of the turnover that we have done for these projects?
Yes. It's a contribution, you know, from the key projects.
So, in terms of our turnover, I'll just speak out some of the projects.
Sure.
So it's JNK Rail Project Banihal, where we have done about 1,878 crores of turnover this year.
Okay.
Then we have done Sivok Rangpo Project, about 1,000 crores. DFC Project, about 687 crores.
Okay.
Vadodara Kimbe, 400 crores.
Okay.
Katni Grade Separator as well as Katni Singroli Doubling Project combined should be about 650 crores.
Okay.
And then Chhattisgarh CEWRL project about 300 crores.
Okay.
Then Agartala Akura rail link about 220 crores.
Mm-hmm.
And CERL Chhattisgarh project of about 205 crores.
205.
Yeah. So this is the broad top 10 jobs you can mention.
Sure. Otherwise, I'll just take it offline.
This should contribute about 80% of my total turnover standalone.
Okay, got it. Sure.
Yeah.
Ma'am, second question pertains to, again, dwelling on the EBITDA margin. Even if I adjust for the 60 crore odd number, we are still at sub 6%. So,
actually there are two things. 60 crore is an adjustment in this quarter for the one-off provisions that we did. And about 70 crores is the number that we need to adjust from the Q4 FY 2021 for the one-off income that we got that quarter.
Right. No, I got that point. What I was trying to understand is, even if we see on a quarterly basis,
last 8, 10 quarters,
the margins have been continuously declining. So is it fair to assume that, the current quarter margins would be the margins which will continue going forward?
Yeah, so the fact is there are, apart from these one-off quarter-to-quarter, differences that we can have depending upon some extraordinary claim or some provision entries, but the fact is that as I was mentioning earlier as well, we are picking up jobs on competitive basis.
Right.
And on lump sum basis. So while there is a price variation formula, we will need to see going forward, given the current scenario, how much of it are we actually able to recover. Going forward, I do see margins to be on a strain. So we will attempt to have margins similar to the levels that we have right now. But to say that they will improve in the future, the answer may not be yes as of now.
Okay. Got it. So, ma'am, just to dwell more upon this, what might happen is, we might see increase in turnover, but in terms of profitability, we'll be, majorly flattish, or probably in case if margins go down, we might also see a degrowth.
In terms of percentage, yes. In terms of absolute terms, yes, our profit would be marginally increasing.
Okay.
Because obviously the turnover is going high substantially.
Right.
Yeah. So, cash built up will be there, but in terms of the percentages, yes. It would be at similar levels, or maybe going forward, I'm talking from a long-term perspective,
right.
The margins could come down a little bit.
Got it. Sure. And ma'am, in terms of depreciation, this quarter, it's slightly on a higher side. Any particular reason for that?
So is this a particular item that you're telling me? Because what we have also done is we've shifted our asset, from PPE to investment property.
Okay.
So 56 crores, and so also the corresponding depreciation.
Okay.
So this should be more of a reclassification entry, if that's what you're saying.
Got it. So from a modeling perspective, for FY23, FY24, the run rate would be in the range of 67 odd crores on a quarterly basis.
Sorry, what would be 67 crores?
Depreciation would be around 6 to 7 odd crores on a quarterly basis.
Depreciation number for us is about 28 crores on a yearly basis.
Right. No, I'm talking about the quarter. Oh, okay. So probably if I put it the other way around, for FY23, it could be in the range of, say, around 25 to 30 odd crores, right?
That's right. It should remain in that range only, about 26, 27 crores.
Got it. And ma'am, if you could, just further break up the investment which you've given of 300 odd crores, how much would be going for the roads and how much for the power?
Yeah, just a second.
Solar
mein kitna hai? Yeah, so, In solar. Solar should be about 25 crores.
Okay.
And as far as my remaining are concerned, it would be railways should be about 50 odd crores.
Okay.
Okay. That is mainly in Chhattisgarh.
Right.
Also the ones that we have committed in JCRL and Mahanadi is 13 and 52 crores.
61 crores in the 32
crores. Huh. So motamati you can say about 100 crores in coal JVs.
Yes. Okay.
And about 20-25 crores in solar.
Okay.
And the balance in roads.
So roads we are talking about an investment of roughly around 150 to 200 crores next year.
Yeah.
And similar amount for FY24?
So, the amounts that I've mentioned to you is for FY22-23.
Right. So, I just wanted to understand for roads, from a two-year perspective, how much more investments would be lined up?
Yeah, so roads, I think we would be, other than these three, four projects, where right. We should be giving how much more? 300 crores?
So 300 crores more.
Yeah, so 300 crores more.
Okay.
Is something that you should expect going forward.
Sure. And then one last question pertaining to our investment in the joint venture which we had for the ISRDC.
Yeah.
What's the status there? We've been given to understand, that the entire entity has been asked to close down. So have you recovered our investments from there?
So what is happening is right now IRSDC is being asked to be closed down and all their assets are supposed to be taken over by Railways Oblique RLDA. That is in process, and depending upon the valuation there, we've already engaged a valuer for it.
Okay.
Based on that valuation, I think it should be in the current financial year, if not in the first quarter. Maybe in the second or third quarter we should be taking accordingly the value for it. But there should be an upside. I don't see any downside there on our face value.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. And all the future. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Viraj Mithani from Jupiter Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am. I would like to understand this order book of 43,000 crores would be executable. Or what period of time?
On an average, 4 years, 4 to 5 years.
4 to 5 years, the whole order book would be executable, right? And we'll be keep on generating the orders, and this is how the cycle will go. Is it correct to think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ma'am, can you give the breakup of this order book, 43,000 crores? In terms of percentage would be enough, right?
So, in terms of, would you want the split between railways, highways, how do you want it?
Yeah, that's what, railways, highways,
okay,
solar.
So railways is about 80%.
Okay.
And highways is about 17%.
Okay.
And that makes it to 97%, and the 3% is balance or other smaller
projects. Okay. Regarding this net profit, the bottom guidance, it be like what, flat or it be going down and up? Like, how will this plan out because of this commodity inflation, the other factors right now? What's your sense? I just want your sense on that, ma'am. That's it.
Sorry, could you repeat your question? I didn't get it.
I'd like to have a sense on your net margin, given the problems of commodity inflation, Ukraine war. Going forward, over the planning will be in a flattish there or be falling down further. So from here,
so net as far as my EBITDA and PBT margins are concerned, as I mentioned earlier as well, we expect them to be flattish, and over a long term period, slightly squeezing given the fact that our competitive mix in the order book is going up. So
okay,
in a competitive environment, at times one has to take calls, which may take a slight toll on the margins.
Okay, and then my last question is, till what price our contracts are protected? Suppose there is a price variation in commodity or the steel or copper. like what, 5-7% up or down, or beyond that the contract doesn't work? How does it work?
No. So there is no such thing. There is a price variation formula, which basically takes into account several factors. So based on those factors, you get the value. The change order of your contract value. So it includes many components, so there would be labor related, there would be an overall inflation, there would be a commodity related variation as well. But there is no such thing that if, steel price was to go up by 30%, then the project will not hold good any longer, or, it will be shelved. That is not the case.
So now, my question is, how do we protect ourselves, like, because of the, say, commodity pricing galloping, then...
So what we try to do is, in maximum contracts, we try to pass on the same terms and conditions to our contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And that acts as a natural hedge for us. Then, of course, the second is that one has to do a more efficient planning while executing the project. So you know exactly what quantity is required when. And if you know that this is a period where the prices are high, you would rather go for a smaller quantity right now and order more subsequently when the prices stabilize. So there is a full technical team which is looking into all these aspects.
Okay.
And so you would have some changes in your execution strategy to make sure that we do not incur loss on this account.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. So a lot of questions have been asked regarding EBITDA margin, so I'm coming back to the same. So can you guide what sort of sustainable EBITDA margins we can expect over next 2 to 3 years if all things remain equal?
So I think we should be able to get about 8% EBITDA margins going forward. There could be a plus minus 1% there. So if one was to look at a range, it could be anywhere between 7 to 10%.
Mm-hmm.
But my own personal view is that going forward, the sustainable margins should be in the range of around 8%.
So what should be the EBITDA margin in nomination projects, and what should be on the competitive building projects?
So what has been happening is that even the nomination basis projects, everyone gets aware based on competition that what is the kind of margins that are flowing in the industry. So even in the cost class, as one of your colleagues was also mentioning, there is quite a bit of negotiation to keep a carb on the margins. So going forward, whether it is nomination or whether it is competition, that should be the range. It will really depend. In nomination, if we were hopeful to get another 1-1.5% extra, could be in few projects on competition, we may go 1-1.5% lower as well.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you and all the best.
So margins in mind, we would be strategizing our bid as and when we submit and going forward, even on competition basis.
And lastly, ma'am, you said you won a project in Myanmar, right?
Yes.
So there is a lot of political instability, and I think there are sanctions. So we are not affected by any sanctions on this?
Yeah, so what has happened is this is a Government of India MEA-induced project. So to that extent, and all our payments are in dollars.
Okay.
And this is the payments are by MEA, so we are protected from those sanctions. And as far as the what you were mentioning in terms of geopolitical environment in Myanmar, yes, we are aware of it. It is a challenge because of which MEA, Government of India, Government of Myanmar, everyone is very focused on this project, and all kinds of security as well as all kinds of other arrangements which need to be taken care of in this environment, they're all being properly planned and being used during execution.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, madam.
Namaskar.
Ma'am, first, yes, ma'am, firstly, in your order inflow, you have mentioned about the Mumbai-Ahmedabad high-speed rail amounting to ₹5143. So, what are the pillars on the ground in terms of the, where are we in terms of laying and the execution of this project, and what portion of the total pie have we been ascertained to out of the total project work?
So this 5143 is our portion of order book only, but as far as the execution is concerned, I will hand over right now to my ED works, and he will tell you exactly where we are in this project.
Good afternoon. Because we will be doing the mainly the track work on this high speed, the substructure, like what you call it, the viaduct you see, that is done by another civil contractor. So we are likely to get the site by end of March, April. So our work will mostly will be taken up in the next financial year. So this year we are buying our equipment and rails and material only. So physical execution mostly will be taken up in the next financial year. When we will be given the site, contractually we will be getting the site around April, so we will be starting our works physically from that. Prior to that, all our procurement will be completed, whatever required by that time.
So what kind of investment will it entail?
Yeah, investment, I think maybe more than 1000 crore we have to purchase rail, sleeper, for this material, we will be purchasing it. As per our requirement schedule, we will be investing, some orders will be placing, and some material will come this year.
And what have been the fund release from the the authority who has released the order?
Authority, we get the mobilization advance up to 10% we are allowed. We have availed, I think, about 5% advance we have already taken. So we will be taking some 10% we are allowed up to mobilization advance against the, like 5,000 crore means around 500 crore we will be taking the mobilization advance, and balance we will be using our funds also.
Okay. And here also, sir, the margins are in the same vicinity, madam, 8 to 10% EBITDA margins?
That what is a competitive bidding, yes, because
it is in the similar range.
Yeah.
Okay, because it is one of its projects, ma'am, one of its kind. We don't have any precedent.
But, you know, the advantage of this project, it is gives us a big CTR to execute more such projects going forward.
CTR means, ma'am?
Fast track record. Once we do one, it's easy for us to showcase this while taking other initiatives forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Ma'am, when we look at your cash flow and the tax outgo, the tax outgo for this income tax paid for this year works out around 33 crore.
Yes.
So if you could explain what is our tax rate and how does this work out?
So, in terms of our tax, we are basically at that 25.168% corporate tax rate. But in terms of the reason why we've had a better PAT this time vis-a-vis the 25% rate, if we were to categorically look at, is because we have had some dismissal of our pending income tax cases. These are relating to some previous years, and we have had an income to that extent, which is adding on to my PAT currently.
No, my point was, ma'am, when we have done the provision on a consolidated level, it is around 186 crore, and if we take the knock of deferred tax, it is around 100 crore. But in actual, we are paying only 32 crore.
Yes.
So that was my. Just to make into account, the actual cash outflow is only to the tune of 32 crore. That is significantly lower than what the provisions have been. Correct me there.
So what you are saying is that as far as my actual cash outflow is concerned, what you are saying is it's 96 is what I've shown this year. Is that what you are saying?
Ma'am, in the cash outflow, I have found the total outgo is only 33 crore rupees. Wherein, if I look at the P&L, the tax provisioning done for this year on a consolidated basis is 186.
Because we also have TDS deducted by our clients, and that's taken into account while computing my overall income tax for the year.
Yes, Correct. Okay, ma'am. That will account for.
So essentially, what happens is I pay an advance tax every quarter. I have my TDS deducted, and then I do a year-end provisioning. Typically, that year-end provisioning gets offset by my TDS and advance tax that I've paid over the period. So TDS per se is not a cash outflow, but a lesser cash that I receive from the client while I'm getting my receivable. So that movement probably gets recorded in your movement in working capital and not in your tax.
Okay. That is the reason why it is not reflected.
Yeah.
Okay, ma'am. And one more question. Yeah. Correct, ma'am. And in terms of this solar project also, I think the 1960 crore that we are setting up, where is the location and where are we, what is the, when are we going to start the work on ground?
Yeah, so I will ask my CFO, ED Finance, you know, because he's directly looking into this project to answer this question for you.
This is Mukundan. As far as the location is concerned, we are putting it in this Pavagada Solar Park. This park already has an installed capacity of about 2.1 gigawatts. So
Karnataka.
We are in Karnataka. So we have selected that as the location of the plant.
And it is floated by the state government?
Yes, the solar park is floated by state government, but there are no more plots there now. So now we'll have to go in for leasing of the land from the farmers.
Sir, I'm not getting you, sir. Come again.
So basically what he's saying is that this is a land in Karnataka, and this particular order that we took was under AREDA scheme, and as far as the land is concerned, the discussions are ongoing with the farmers in that area, particular area, for leasing of land on a long-term basis.
Okay. So the authority who has floated is AREDA?
AREDA, yeah.
Okay. And that is, our exchequer is AREDA only, they will be paying us for the project.
We will only give VGF funding. The project has to be funded by the promoter, by the developer.
As far as tariff is concerned, that will come from...
The tariff is being fixed by MNRE at 2 rupees 45 paise, and based on that is the maximum ceiling which we can enter into a PPA. So we have already signed the PPA with
Railway.
So ma'am, here what is our scope of work? What are we? We are installing the solar panels, we are sourcing the panels from X-Party and installing them, or what is the scope of work here for us?
Scope of work is you have to put up the entire plant, take all relevant approvals for connectivity, and then sell the plant and maintain the plant for a period of 25 years.
We are a developer cum operator for this through our JV.
Okay, then it will be an annuity project for us, BOT.
No, it's a BOT project.
Okay, so when will we start earning from this project?
2 to 3 years.
2024, the project will be completed. August 2024.
Okay, and what would be the annual revenue post that? We should be booking under the income at head.
This is a 500 megawatt plant, and the tariff is about 2 rupees 45 paise. Into 24 into 365, you have the value?
No, I don't have the
values. So we can share the value with you,
okay,
but in terms of the parameters, even you can work that out. It's a 500 megawatt. It will have, of course, some capacity utilization factor, and the tariff
plant load factor is
45.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict their questions to 2 per participant. They can come back in the queue for a follow-up question if they wish to later. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. We take the next question from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equiris. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Ma'am, just one clarification to the previous participant. You have said that EBITDA margins, the long-term range, you see it at around, say, 8%. Yes. I just wanted to clarify, is it including the other income or that would be excluding the core EBITDA margin you're talking about?
Core EBITDA margin.
Core EBITDA margin, right?
Yeah. Core EBITDA margin.
Got it.
With other income, it would be 10 plus.
All right. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Ma'am, I just wanted to update in terms of, you know, previous con calls you have said that you were trying to encash, you know, monetize some of your JVs, like the road JV which you had, the Shivpuri Guna Water Team and Somway. Can you give me an update on what the status of that? Because I think the national pipeline was going to put money into it, and where are we right now on it?
Yeah, so, there was some kind of ambiguity on how to go about monetizing these kind of our assets. But recently, Deepam, Cabinet has taken a decision to empower respective board of directors to recommend and undertake disinvestment of their subsidiaries and JVs. So this has just come in May 22, this note, and the detailed guidelines as well as procedures are yet to be announced by DPAM. So once that is in place, we shall take cognizance of that and start making efforts towards asset monetization.
And so, ma'am, could you give the ballpark figure of this? What will the monetization level be of this fee? So yes, if you can. Is the value same or the value will be appreciated over here?
So, you know, I mean, I think it's too preliminary to comment on it. We will obviously assume that it should not deteriorate, but I think maybe we'll be able to answer this better in the next quarter or maybe half year down the line.
Okay, and then second thing, in terms of the Jammu and Kashmir project, I think it is one of the vital projects that you're doing currently, right?
Yes.
So what I understand is the margins there are supposed to be in the range of 10%.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. Are we having any impact on them because it's a critical project in terms of, you know, nation-wise as well as defense-wise. So, are we having any pressure or are the margins there on impact on that project itself?
No. We are absolutely comfortable and we are, I mean, that project is running well.
Okay, ma'am.
Plus, as I rightly mentioned, so we are not at any which way affected in terms of our margin percentage.
And one last question, ma'am. If you can just tell the cash level at the company level, besides the client, that would be much better.
I am sorry, I couldn't understand. If you can repeat your question,
the cash at company level, ma'am. The company owned cash, basically, as of 31st March.
The cash? Okay.
Yeah, ma'am.
So the company level cash, after taking off the funds which we had earmarked for clients as well as for projects, it should be about 1,000 crores as at 31st March 22.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Alright.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Vishal Periwal from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity again. I think you just mentioned that company owned cash is 1,000 odd crore.
Yes.
Including the projects and the client money. When you say project,
excluding the client money,
yeah,
and the project fund.
Excluding. So that is, does this mean like, you know, 300 crore that we plan to invest in this year is already taken out from this 1,000 crore?
No. So this 300 will go from this 1,000, but yes, in this year we will also be making more profit, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
It should get set off somewhere because our profit numbers are in the range of 500 to 600 crores. So even if you were to take out dividends, there should be an aggregation from profit as well.
Got it, ma'am. And can you give some color on this international project that we have won? This 1800 crore Myanmar you mentioned, in terms of 2-3 things, like, you know, what kind of margins that you see to make in this? I think you mentioned that the earnings from this will be in dollars. So the forex is like, you know, we are taking care, and then margins, the forex who is taking care, and then last thing in terms of the payment stuck terms, is it similar to what like typical NHI norms are, or how exactly it is?
So No, no. So this is not NHAI norms. This is, in fact, you know, like any other lump sum contract. So nothing to do with a BOT or a HAM kind of a model. As far as dollar payments are concerned, since it involves margin for us, and you know, this is, as I mentioned, it is an MEA-driven project, and in a difficult geopolitical terrain, so the margins are good here. And as far as my hedging is concerned, because I'm getting my money in dollars, and given the rupee-US depreciation, as well as the fact that a lot of my subcontracting would also be in dollar terms, so it should, if at all, it should add to my value. It should not reduce my margins in any which way. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Did you get the answer, or it got dropped off somewhere?
Members of management, this is the operator. I just wanted to confirm. Yeah. So we have the lines disconnected. We move on to the next question from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I have again got in the queue.
Hello.
Yeah, ma'am. Just a follow-up question, ma'am. In terms of your Bandra land, which is there, and which I understand from the IPO side, it was for a duration of 4 years.
Yes.
What is the status on that, ma'am? And can you explain how do we, because I think the loan was for Indian Railways. We're just a pass-through vehicle. Can you just give me the update on that, ma'am?
So, you know, the situation pretty much remains the same. There were certain issues between Mumbai Metropolitan Regional Development Authority as well as some Municipal Corporation of Greater Mumbai with railways, and those issues are still under discussion. We do see them getting resolved soon, and till such time that these issues are not resolved, the MOU between MRDA, RLDA and IRCON is supposed to be extended going forward. That updated or modified MOU with timeline change should be executed, I think, in this quarter itself. So in terms of only when those issues are resolved can we go ahead appointing a developer. So per se, the everything is status quo there. But from IRCON books perspective, I mean, as you rightly mentioned, you know, I mean, we basically have taken loan from IRFC and given it to RLDA. So that way, we are not affected by this delay directly per se.
But then, are we getting the consultancy fee for this thing, project? Because that was a, you know, is it revised or is it the same level which is there?
So
we
will be getting the consultancy fee after we've appointed the developer. There was some fixed amount of fee which we were supposed to get initially to be adjusted subsequently. That we have received partly, and partly we shall be getting on signing of this updated MOU. So those are fixed fee to take care of our expenses. But in terms of the percentage fee that we were supposed to get, that we'll only get after the developer's appointment.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Deeksha, for moderating the same. And thanks to Perfect Relations for organizing this call. I would like to pay my sincere regards to all analyst and investor friends who've taken out their time out of their busy schedule to have this interaction with us. We would be happy to connect with you even on a one-to-one basis if required for any further queries that you would have and take it forward. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you everyone for joining this call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.